So obviously many of y'all are deemed essential, and you're out and you're on the Bayway because multiple confirmations of what we heard earlier from Matt, a pedestrian walking eastbound on the Bayway, looks to be under the influence of something. That is a bad, bad situation. Hopefully law enforcement is listening to that, has gotten a report of that. This texture says, just passed, drive a big truck. Long cannot drive a big truck. They are correct. A pedestrian walking on the Bayway towards Spanish. It would be Spanish Fort, I guess, for right before you get to it. So they've made some progress there, heading eastbound, walking on the Bayway, not the causeway. Y'all be aware of that out there, and hopefully somebody gets that person picked up. And speaking of, this person says they drive a big truck. If they meet a big rig, coming up today on Midday Mobile, Mark Colson, who's head of the Alabama Truckers Group, is going to join us. A lot of questions out there on what they're doing. You know, the big rigs are rolling. The supplies are needed out there. So what's happening with the truckers? We'll talk to Mark about that coming up in just a little bit. Now, there's a whole bunch of our audience that obviously has been on the Bayway in the last few minutes. A lot of y'all have seen this person. So law enforcement, heads up. Person on the Bayway out there. All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5. Let me give you all a heads up before we get rolling with everything this hour. Got a lot of stuff to do. But I want to talk about my buddy Trey and the crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Okay, they are open. They are working. They're doing jobs in Mobile and Baldwin County, as always. They practice social distancing. You can actually do the pay by credit card. You don't even have to interact. They have the mask and the gloves as well when they come on your property. But I know you've been doing like most people. You spent more time at home. Even if you're working, you don't have the evening meetings. And, you know, like for me, Cub Scouts is canceled and all that. You know, so you're home more. You probably identified some things you want to change there at the house. Well, a lot of that involves getting rid of junk and getting it out of the way. You can get organized, free up some new space, got a project going. That's when 1-800-GOT-JUNK comes in and helps in such a big way. They are working, and phone number, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, you call it, or go to the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. They're experts in social distancing, and they can distance you from your junk as well. And the cool thing is, they'll show up at a prescribed time. You'll make an appointment, actual day, actual time. They show up, and they'll look at the job, quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and haul the stuff off, and it's gone, like that. Point at it, and it's gone. It's like magic. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Locally owned company. A friend of mine runs this company, Trey, and he's been doing this for 12 years in Mobile and Baldwin County, and they are still working, so you think this might be the right time to get that project done, check them out at 1-800-GOT-JUNK. All right, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock, and the numbers are up, as Dalton reported earlier here, as we got the new set of numbers in from ADPH.
Yeah, so latest update from the Alabama Department of Public Health, and the numbers keep rising, of course. We're now up to 1,315 confirmed cases in the state. They're saying that 21 have officially died because of COVID-19. They've also raised the number of reported deaths to 34, and the discrepancy there between the reported deaths and the number of people who've died from illness, the ADPH is looking at each individual reported death and determining whether COVID-19 was the main cause. So that's why you see 34 reported, but 21 died from the illness. There have been, according to them, 8,393 total tests. That is probably, of all these numbers, I would say the most likely to be not accurate, because there are a lot of private labs that have not been reporting negative tests that have come in, but only reporting positive tests.
I think
tests.
They're required to report, right? The government requires them to report positives, but they don't report negatives.
So and then you've also got the private labs and other labs, so we've probably had a lot more tested than that 8,393, but not sure of the exact number. As far as local cases, the number in Baldwin County is now up to 26, 71 in Mobile County, 3 in Washington County, 2 in Clark County, 2 in Escambia, 3 in Monroe County, 4 in Choctaw, 1 in Conecuh, and 5 in Wilcox County. And we're likely to see the numbers rise in all of those counties, but especially the rural counties that have had a lack of testing over the last few weeks. I believe they're starting to get more tests in. For a while this week, there were a number of counties that had yet to have a confirmed COVID-19 case. That number is now down to 4 counties. You've got Perry County, and then looking into the southeast part of the state, Barber County, Henry County, and Geneva, all yet to have a positive COVID-19 test. Every county north of Perry has at least one confirmed case, and now every county in southwest Alabama up to Perry has a confirmed case. But again, that goes back to the number of tests that have been performed in each local area.
Yeah, that's one of the things that as you... Okay, a couple things. Number one, as more tests will be given, these numbers will come up. That doesn't mean the actual cases... I mean, the cases are rising, but when they make big leaps, if you gave... Right now, if everybody in Alabama took a test, the numbers would be very high compared to what they are now. Mm-hmm. Not very high as a percentage, but just raw numbers. It would jump a bunch because there's people that have it that don't know they have it or aren't so sick that they had to go to the hospital. They would show up in that number. So the total confirmed cases would jump.
And in my opinion, the key to getting us out of this economic slowdown that we are in right now is testing. Until we can get a vaccine, until we can get something that like this hydrochloroquine and Z-Pak, until a lot of people are able to get their hands on that and we're able to lower the number of current cases, testing is huge. Because if everyone in America right now were able to have their hands on a test and get tested at the same time, we would know who all has COVID-19, who all needs to be staying at home and not going around other people for 14 days. And then everyone else that's tested negative would be able to get out and go to work and until they eventually come in contact with coronavirus. So I think that the biggest thing we need to do right now, and I know they're working on it, I think at least 100,000 tests a day now in the United States, but we need to get that number a lot higher. And the more people that are able to test and see whether they've come into contact with the disease, then we can start parsing out who should be able to go to work, who can get back to making some money to put food on their family's tables.
Yeah, I want to kind of lay out that debate here in just a second. Before I do, though, what you're talking about there, I think, goes hand in blue rubber glove with the story John Sharp has up and others about the public safety side of things. Okay, so this is, we had 9 police officers yesterday and like 2 firefighters. Now they're saying 20 Mobile police officers and 10 Mobile Fire Rescue firefighters have tested positive for carrying the antibodies of COVID-19. Now, this means you've been exposed to COVID-19, but you might not be sick. We'll get to that in a second. All 30 of those first responders, John writes, are now awaiting the return of nasal swab tests to return from the Birmingham-based Assurance Scientific Laboratories. Those tests will determine if the police officer or firefighters are contagious and should be quarantined for 14 days. James Barber, city's executive director of public safety, said that close to 2/3 of the city's first responders have been screened, which is roughly about 600 people. Barber said of the 30 quarantined, only one has shown physical signs of having coronavirus. So all 30 pinged for the antibody, only one of those is sick. None of the nasal swab tests have been returned yet. The city began testing on Monday. Barber said the police officers and firefighters were the first to be tested at Mobile's Lab People Stadium, which had been set up for drive-through coronavirus testing. And we now know that when he wrote this story, Mobile had 69 confirmed cases in the county, but we now have
71.
So he said, in addition, the Mobile County Sheriff's Department is reporting at least 2 positive cases of coronavirus within its corrections unit. An inmate at Mobile Metro Jail has also tested positive. Mobile has reported 3 deaths. He then said Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson, meanwhile, said no decisions have been made on whether the city will provide hazardous duty pay for its first responders who come in contact with the public on a frequent basis. Mobile County Sheriff's Department, in a report, says it confirmed it was offering time and a half hazardous pay to its corrections officers and sheriff's deputies. Hazardous pay is additional pay beyond a first responder's base salary. We all kind of get that. Stimson said he should have a decision soon on whether police and firefighters will be offered a similar benefit. I know a friend of mine works in a must-work industry. He's getting hazard pay at his work. So there's one part of number one. I've had a worry. What happens if everybody gets sick at one time in some division of public safety? That's a worry. But at the same time, I think what you can take from this is you've got 30 people, right? 30 of these public safety officers and firefighters that have showed the COVID-19, they pinged for COVID-19 antibody. But only one of those is like what we would consider sick.
And as we continue to see scientists, public health officials try to find out more and more about this virus, and there's still so much unknown, I'm seeing reports now that 25 to 50% of people who actually have COVID-19 are not showing symptoms. Now, that's a huge number.
So you can have it, but you're not sick.
Right, 25 to 50%. And most importantly, those people can still pass it along. So mm-hmm. they might not think that they're sick. They might not think that they've got COVID-19, but if they're out doing the grocery shopping or going to work, then they could be passing that along. We're going to continue to find out more information, obviously, about how this virus attacks people differently. We already know that someone with underlying health symptoms is more likely to be greatly affected by it. But remember, for the first few weeks, first couple months, they were saying the people that really need to be worried about it are 65 and over and those mm-hmm. with underlying symptoms. But I was playing audio from a former offensive tackle that's 47 years old that said he had it. He had to go into the ICU, and he was healthy before he contracted COVID-19.
Yeah, I mean, this is somebody who didn't have underlying health conditions and obviously is, you know, probably pretty darn physically strong.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the question of, does more contact with COVID-19 mean you have a worse case of it once you come down with it? Because
are they talking about that? Is there some kind of cumulative effect, or is it just once you get...
Well, one of the questions is, so many of these doctors who are healthy that are around patients constantly, it seems like a lot of them are getting worse cases. Now, I've seen a couple people talking about whether being around the virus more means you're going to have a worse case. But again, there's so much unknown right now about coronavirus. And we're just, over the next few days, weeks, and months, we're going to find out as much as possible.
All right, Dan, I want to lay out kind of a quick, and we're going to get some politics this hour as well, too, because, there's a story we need to get to here on the primary runoff for Senate in the Republican side. But I want to just lay this out. Maybe we'll talk about it this hour. So, and if I've missed missed something here, add it to it. You can call us 343-0106 or text it in. I'd rather hear your voice. But so here are the arguments. Let's say on one extreme in dealing with COVID-19 is do nothing. Is that we shouldn't have changed a thing. You do nothing. You let it go through. No change.
Herd immunity.
Okay. Well, people keep saying, somebody's texting me about herd immunity. I've been talking about herd immunity for a long time. That's the difference between the flu and this, that we have built-in herd immunity to the flu now because people get vaccines, people who have had it. In other words, there's roadblocks. Still goes through the populace, but all lanes don't lead to a new person to infect.
There's a lot of dead ends.
When you have herd immunity. And it keeps it from moving. So COVID-19, until we'll be at that point down the road with herd immunity. We're not there right now. So it's contagious. Even if you don't show ill effects, you get it and you pass it on.
Mm-hmm.
There's not as many dead ends.
And that's presuming that you can't catch it more than once.
That's true.
We're still trying to find out.
We don't know that.
Because they're showing that this coronavirus is able to mutate in small ways.
But they said it was slower to mutate than other viruses, I heard. But, of course, tomorrow it could be a new piece of information.
Right, and they do know that there's a number of strains around the world, and maybe some strains might affect people worse than other strains.
And so there's the do nothing. Then the other side, the other bookend, is do everything. It's a full shutdown of everybody. Everybody stays at their home. They don't go out. The streets are empty. The tumbleweeds are rolling down. All businesses shut down. All the folks lose their job. We'll talk about what they're trying to do with the CARE Act and others to prevent that. But people lose their jobs. Everything's shut down. We go into absolute quarantine. Nobody moves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other extreme. So in between is where reality lies. But what level on the spectrum is right? So you've got this seesaw, right? And you're balancing it one way or another. Hit it hard to shorten the length, and we can talk about the fact that most of this is to prevent overwhelming hospitals, but just bear with me for a second, that we hit this hard. In other words, we take pretty extreme measures, not to do everything, but pretty darn extreme measures here, which you're seeing in a lot of places. Does that, number one, protect the hospitals from getting overwhelmed, but does that shorten the length and the expanse of this virus? Okay, so you'd say, hey, what the president's talking about, we're going to go 30 days hardcore here
mm-hmm.
to try to undo this. All right, so there's one flavor. Then you navigate a middle ground, maybe, that has about half and half of social distancing, not stay at home, and maybe you close some businesses, but not all businesses, or, you have warnings out and tell people, give them the information they need to know, but let the business be open, those kind of things. Then you have another, a little more, a little tighter regulation on that, which you're seeing in a lot of states where you have almost all except for food and a couple businesses open like that, and you have extreme social distancing, and you have law enforcement enforcing no group over 10 together, whatever. Where do you go in that? Because the two extremes, I think, except for a few people on Twitter, other than those people, most people are somewhere in between do absolutely nothing and do everything and shut the world down.
Mm-hmm.
So where in between is the... Right, and can you argue, like many have, the president's arguing as well, that you might need one level of it in New York and something different in Idaho, you know, or somewhere else that it's not as prevalent.
Right.
You know, they're talking about Alabama being on track to maybe have the fourth highest number of fatalities from COVID-19 and all that. So Alabama may be a different case than New Mexico. I don't know. You pick a state, but do you look at it state by state and like we're doing now, let governors set what they think the proper parameters are, or even let, you know, mayors of cities or county commissions set it.
Yeah, should the rules in New York City, where they're being slammed by this, with millions and millions of people packed into one tight area, and a lot of people that have traveled to and from different parts of the world, should their rules be the same as Groveville, Alabama's rules?
Right, and who gets to make that decision? Right? So that's what I want to hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. This is also our 1-800-GOT-JUNK online opinion poll question. Should Governor Kay Ivey issue a stay-at-home order for the state of Alabama? You look at the map right now, it's like the lotto map. Every state that surrounds us has a stay-at-home order. We do not. Do we need it here? Would you support that?
And Georgia Governor Brian Kemp yesterday, one of the latest states to issue a shelter-in-place or a stay-at-home order. When we come back, I'll tell you what that entails for Georgia. We can explain or try to decide how that's different from what we're already doing in Alabama.
All right, be right back. All right, 828 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. Continue with that discussion. Okay, so we're talking about Georgia, and are they... It's shelter in place or stay at home. I mean, I think that's just semantics, right? They're essentially the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's just the label that
All right.
Leaders in each state decide to label the
order. Just pick one and go with it, y'all. Okay.
So we've seen so many states issue these stay at home orders, these shelter in place orders. And Georgia, one of the latest states, theirs begins today at 6 p.m. So obviously that'd be 5 p.m. our time. And this will only last 10 days as of now. It'll expire on Monday. But the governor, Kemp, he issued this yesterday, and exceptions to the stay at home order in Georgia include essential services like buying food, supplies for household consumption, medical supplies or treatment, or engaging in outdoor exercise activities.
Okay.
They also include performing necessary travel, performing minimum basic operations at a business, or working in a critical infrastructure sector. Also, they said as part of the order, restaurants and private social clubs will have to stop dine-in services, which we've done a while back.
Right, we already did.
So takeout, curbside pickup, and delivery are still options. And then they go through all the bars, nightclubs, gyms, and everything else that's been shut down, which Alabama did just a week ago or a week and a half ago.
Yep.
So how is that different than what we're doing right now in Alabama without a stay-at-home order?
Right. So I think about this. I think maybe it just gives law enforcement the... Although, you turn around, look at Mobile. MPD is enforcing the no group over 10 and all that. They have that right to do that enforcement. So those getting on... Governor Ivey has essentially done this already. Maybe she's having her cake and eating it too, doing that, but not getting pushback because she's caused, you know, named it something. But yeah, what you rolled out, except... really, with very few exceptions, the same thing that Georgia did. Is it time for Alabama to put a name on it? What do you think? Coming right back. Hey, thank you, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings Friday style. All right. Buddy Ben points out here, it's my understanding that Wilcox County, the city of Thomasville, city of Jackson are under a 9P to 5A curfew until further notice. I saw Chickasaw doing the same thing. Of course, saw somebody ask this question on social media the other day, the same question I asked when this stuff first came out. How does that help when you have a curfew, when you shut down after a certain time? How does that help fight, like the coronavirus has gone to bed or something like that? What I was told here, Ben and others that have asked this question, it's about law enforcement resources and trying to maximize that. I guess if there's more things they got to do during the day, if you have a curfew at night, maybe fewer officers. That's what was relayed to me. Now, somebody out there can correct me on that, but that was what was relayed, is the idea of the curfew in those places was to be able to, I guess, get people to get some rest or something like that in law enforcement. And, you know, we're looking at cases of 30 cases between Mobile Police Department and Fire Rescue that have tested positive for the antibodies for COVID-19. You got to ask a question, too. Going forward, I mean, let's pray it's not, but what happens if it goes rampant through? Now, I guess the good thing, in a way, is we're seeing people test positive for the antibodies and they're not sick. You're not outwardly ill, like can function. Mm-hmm. Because if you know, my worry would be what happens if it goes through a whole police department or fire station or something like that, and nobody's healthy enough to work.
Yeah, like in New York. I mean, I think just a few days ago, there were already well over 1,000 NYPD officers that had tested positive for coronavirus. I'm sure the number of those cases has grown a lot in New York, and also the NYFD has mm-hmm. had a lot of cases too. So when you've got sick first responders that aren't supposed to be going to work and aren't supposed to, or that are supposed to be at home quarantining, what kind of extra pressure does that put on that system?
Right. And that's maybe what they're trying to avoid. Maybe that's why the curfew. But yes, I had the same reaction as many early on. How does that affect coronavirus? This texture says, are the first responders that tested positive for the antibodies included in the number of confirmed cases in Mobile County? I think that's yes. Right? The way I read the story, it didn't say that, but it said they were the first to be tested at the facility, right?
There's no way.
Why wouldn't they be in the case?
Because, the reports.
They haven't tested positive. That's a good point. They tested positive for the antibodies, mm-hmm. but now they sent the swabs off to see if they have coronavirus.
Yeah, I don't think that ADPH is including the blood tests that have shown antibodies.
Because if you have, that's right. Because if you have antibodies, all the things we were vaccinated for when we were kids, mm-hmm. we have antibodies for those in our system, right?
Right.
But we don't currently have mumps, rubella, measles, right?
Yeah.
You have antibodies, but you don't have it. That's a good point. That's it. So to that texture, I don't know.
And if those cases were included, then we would have seen a lot bigger jump for Mobile County. Now, we are seeing a rise in the number of cases, but overnight it only went up by two.
So having the antibody doesn't make you go onto the list for cases of COVID-19?
I don't believe so.
Okay. They then got to do the nose swab deal
to see if you currently have coronavirus.
All right. Somebody on the text line said, call it the stay at home if you want to policy. I mean, that is why Dalton was reading that, and why we're pointing it out is there's a lot of fuss right now about Governor Kay Ivey hasn't issued a stay at home or shelter in place or whatever you want to call it policy. But we're reading through like what Georgia has done, and with very few exceptions, it's essentially kind of what's happening here. They leave it open ended.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of gray to it, right? It's like, well, you're not supposed to be out, but if you're going to do this, 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 and this. And in Florida, we heard from Sheriff Morgan. He said they're not going to be pulling people over to check what they're doing.
Yeah, and Governor Ivey, it seems, she's letting the mayors of the cities really make the decisions here. And it's kind of like everyone that's upset with President Trump for not ordering a nationwide stay-at-home order. He's saying, hey, I'm leaving it up to the individual states to do that. And since then, most of the states have issued either a stay-at-home or a shelter-in-place. But as we've been talking, and I went through the list of things that are included in Georgia's stay-at-home order, and it seems like that's already been encouraged and happening in most parts of Alabama.
All right. Somebody says, aren't the antibodies immunity to the virus? That's John asking that question. And the way I understand it, John, I mean, without doing the cliched, I am not a physician, so I'm open to corrections on this. To me, that's the way I've always understood it. You get a vaccination, you create antibodies to fight whatever that is, then that's in your system and it protects you from that, and then we get herd immunity as well from that. So, but Dalton's saying, you know, maybe the flu is a better example, because you could have one strain of the flu and build up an immunity to it through the antibodies, but then here comes the other strain or some variant of the first strain, and you could get it again.
Mm-hmm. Because these viruses are able to mutate. And we were talking about a story where it seems like the coronavirus has been slowly mutating, but we do know that there are several strains around the world of the coronavirus. And one of the questions is, are some of the strains worse than other strains. Maybe some of these people that have not been showing any symptoms of coronavirus, maybe they've got a strain that just hits the body less hard than other strains. And again, you know, there's so much unknown about this. I mean, the first time we heard about COVID-19 coming from China, I believe, wasn't it late November or December? They didn't even have their first true confirmed case, according to the World Health Organization, until January. And I think it was either the same day or just a few days before the United States' first confirmed case. I know a lot of people are wondering, and this is pure speculation, and I have seen some articles address this, but is it possible that coronavirus came from China earlier than we ever even thought?
Well, there's a lot of people saying that, okay? I don't know to tell them they're wrong the same way I don't know to tell them they're right. This will be probably forensically done, right? Mm-hmm. Looking back and seeing, they could probably trace this. I mean, with what they could do with the genome, I know that's not the same thing, but they can probably look at, is there a half-life of a virus or something they can look and say, this has been around this long. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that. It's a possibility.
I know I and so many other people are just looking for some kind of comfort for you and your family and knowing whether or not you've already had the disease and maybe you've got antibodies already. But I've talked to several people who, and again, this is just pure speculation, no science behind this, but a lot of people who were really sick at the end of last year and went and got tested and either tested negative for the flu or never got tested, which you wouldn't know if it was the flu or not, but some people wondering if they maybe didn't already get coronavirus back in early January or in December.
All right, this texter says, too many businesses are still open and two baby people are allowed to move freely. Okay, probably maybe too many.
Yeah, he corrected it. Too many.
Oh, okay. Too many baby people. too many, not baby people. Okay, well, baby people I thought was funnier. Okay, so to correct that, too many businesses are still open. Too many people are allowed to move freely. No way we will control the virus this way. We may slow the spread, but once that happens and we feel we have it beat, people will most likely go back to doing what we did before, and there will be a second outbreak. I believe we need a total lockdown with exception to medical personnel, fire and police, and an idea how a manufacturer can bring business back to the States and keep production costs as low as China. I believe they could still deliver the same quality, perhaps even better, while not seeing the need to raise prices on the end user. All right, so that's more of the, as I laid out those approaches, that's almost like a do-everything approach, just complete lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will argue that for health and economy, the complete lockdown is best because it gets it over with faster. Some people will say, hey, it comes back, like this texter says, and it's going to be a chronic instead of an acute fight against this. You know, which one is right? I think a lot of people will look back in retrospect from their armchair and say, oh, yeah, I could have told you that was the thing to do. But all right. And Travis says, Sean, testing for antibodies is, in my opinion, a way to reduce panic and place people on another list besides positive. You're still going to be asked to quarantine, but you're not considered positive. It's a good move, in my opinion. All right. Come back with more calls and text at 343-0106 plus. Corona beer? Maybe a casualty of coronavirus. Yeah, figured it was coming.
AM 851 here on FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings. Let's head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning. Hey. How is everybody?
We are doing great here at FM Talk 106.5, and I know you're doing great out there at McConnell because you still got that great deal passed down from GM.
That's right. We still have 0% for 84 months, and then they forgive the first, well, they don't forgive, they defer the payments for 120 days, which is not a bad deal at all. 0% money. No. Don't forget about our used cars. We got some great. I bought some stuff yesterday, got a couple of trains in, got a couple of canyons in, got those certified, which gives you an extra 12 on the warranty. You can check those out on the website at McConnellAutomotive.com. Don't forget about our body shop. If you have that unexpected wreck or anything, give Gary and them a call back there. They'll take care of your insurance needs and everything at 251-476-4141.
Good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, coming to the phones in a second. Just want to read a couple texts quickly here, or quickly read them, not read them quickly. This from our buddy Dan. This is like I said, I'm trying to understand this, do the best job at it possible. He said, the virus doesn't have other strains. This virus is a strain of the SARS virus. So I guess you can't split it another way. He said, okay. Well, so there could be some other virus, some other strain of SARS or something else that you could get. Because I'm looking at a texter who said, I don't have the name in front of me, but somebody said here that they work with, okay, here it is. I work around a guy, unnamed texter here. Y'all give yourself nicknames or first name or whatever you want to do. He said, I work around a guy that got diagnosed yesterday, and the doctor said it was the second time he's had it. Atticus, well said. Although, it's a meme he put up, but this is good. Said, having some states locked down and some states not locked down is like having a peeing section in a swimming pool. Good stuff. All right, to the phones we go. And Gary's in Mobile up next. Hey, Gary.
Hey, good morning, Sean.
Morning.
Hey, I think y'all are on the right subject here, and I think Trump's doing all the right things, leaving it to the governors, because that's really what they're supposed to do, is run their states. That's what they were put in there for. So that's, I think that's in the right direction. But there's just so much unknown. Just like what you're talking about this morning, there's one story that says one thing, another story that says another thing. Long story short, we're kind of screwed for a while. Some of these smart people who went to college for 15 years need to sit down and figure this thing out.
Yeah, and I think eventually they will.
Have all these long PhDs, figure it out.
I think they eventually will. Don't you know they, in the rearview mirror, we'll know a lot more. But right now, I'm still scratching my head.
Right. And we can't do anything. That's why everybody's losing their minds over this, because, Mesoamerican American people are willing to do what they're asked of, but it's just too much coming at us right now. People are, it's okay for now, but I'm afraid of what might happen if this goes on too long.
You and I both. Right now we've had 10 million people on the unemployment rolls in the last 2 weeks. That is serious whiplash to an economy that was chugging along. Thank goodness we had. Imagine what it would look like if we didn't, what were we at, 3% unemployment, some great number like that? I mean, it's already massive amount being added, but at least I guess we were doing so well. But 10 million people added to the unemployment rolls is just outrageous.
It is. It's like a war of a different flavor. So, all right. Have a good one, John.
You too, Gary. Thanks.
And, that's one of the problems. You've got experts that come from so many different walks of life, and so many of these people that have been to college their entire lives, they've been working in the education system or working in labs there at colleges, but they know a lot more when it comes to infectious diseases than your common person. But they also don't know what it takes for the average person to get out there and work and put food on their table. And I think that's why it's so important for the president to have experts from different tracks to help lead him on this and try to somehow split the difference between the doctors who say, in a perfect world, if everyone in America were locked down for 14 to 17 days or whatever, and we weren't letting people in or out of the country, that would be the way to stop the virus. But then you have the specialists in finance and in the economy who say, the best thing for the economy is to work and get people out there and get production going. And that's why it's so difficult to split the difference, like we were talking about this morning.
Yeah, well, I see a text here from Bruce. He says, I had a cousin who passed Monday due to the virus. Mm. I talked about it on... maybe we're talking about the same person that I knew personally, died over the last weekend from coronavirus or coronavirus complications. So yeah, it's real. For the people who send me emails and stuff that said this is all it's not a real thing. Now, the response, you could disagree, but it is a real thing. It has killed people. But it's a fair, the flu discussion. I got somebody texting me this morning how many deaths from the flu, which, by the way, that is a hard number to lock down, because if you go and just try to find out how many people died from the flu, you'll see like 10 different numbers, because there are different metrics in it. But let's talk about at least, and I got to just, I know everybody's like, well, they're making it up, but I mean, I believe that Dr. Fauci knows a lot more about medicine than I do and about epidemiology than I do. He's saying that the fatality rate from COVID-19 versus, I guess, flu A or B strain is almost, although they adjusted it, they said 10 times more. In other words, it's like 1% death from COVID-19 if you average it among everybody. Now, when we get these numbers, problem is you're looking at the very sickest people and how many people die, so you get a skewed thing. But I think among the whole populace, their projection would be it's about a 1% fatality rate, where it's a 0.1 fatality rate among flu cases. So 10 times, although I heard the other day it's like 0.6 for COVID and 0.1 for flu, but it's 6 times or 10 times deadlier. It doesn't mean it's, you know, the volume of people, you know, it's that many more. Is that a big enough reason to shut down the economy? I don't know, but it's not a, no saying there's no such thing as coronavirus. This thing's made up. I'll have egg on my face if that's proven to be true, because right now I see everything I see. I think we're talking about something very, very real. All right, be back in 3 today, 3 hours. We'll do Midday Mobile. See you then.